Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and boy, we were really fortunate, three of us, to go into this occupation where apparently you can make $375 million in one contract.
No, not apparently we can. Apparently Tom Brady can.
All I know, Key, is there's a reason you don't see me calling football games. No one's approached me with $375 million yet, and I refuse to take a penny less.
Tom Brady in the Mercedes-Benz Dome, this is his 12th Super Bowl appearance in the Mercedes-Benz Dome.
Hey, Jay, listen to Dan Graziano, our ESPN NFL insider, on a terrific morning show on the radio. You should check it out. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM Channel 80. It's a sensation. But listen, Dan Graziano appeared on that program, and this is what he said about Brady's contract with Fox.
I don't think it signals anything about that. I think Fox was making the announcement. I was just told on an earnings call. I mean, they're trying to, you know, make a splash. They made it clear that it's up to him when it starts. But no, I don't think it means this is his last year. I think it's his last year in Tampa. Okay. I mean, the contract's up after this year, voids after this year, so he'll be able to go wherever he wants to go. And
Miami, what?
Yeah, it seemed like he had a little bit of a wandering eye this past year, right, with the retirement and then coming back. So, yeah, I think there's some intrigue as to where he might play in 2023, assuming he does. I mean, he could decide to retire again. We don't know. Nobody knows. And anybody who tells you how long Tom Brady's going to play is making it up, because I don't think he knows.
So that is a really interesting point that Dan brings up, right? You announce it not knowing when Tom's really going to retire, which creates more intrigue around Tom. That's what I'm trying to tell y'all. This man is a media genius. He is just building out his brand more and more. Is he going to play another year? Oh, let me go to the podcast that he has, Man in the Arena. Oh, he's going to leak some other information out now. Oh, now he's going to do broadcasting. Is that going to give him more leverage in his next contract? Can he have a handshake deal with some kind of owner on a secret boat that maybe gives him ownership status in another team? It just keeps you engaged in every single move, and it gives him leverage.
Jay makes a good point. I know our very own Pat Costello and Alan Yates also have their own brands. But maybe if they were better at managing those brands, they'd have a 10-year, $375 million contract.
I got t-shirts, cuz.
As I say to you, Max, in doing one of our breaks or whatever, I don't even know what TB12 and the brand. I hear about a lot of that, but I also have been an athlete myself, and on and off the field, and have been involved in many, many different things throughout my life. Your brand is who you are. TB12 is not going to be able to monetize his brand by going to Fox. Fox is the brand. He's going to be able to monetize who he is.
In other words, he got paid by going to Fox. It's not a brand play.
But I'm not calling TB12 the brand. I'm calling Tom Brady the brand.
Well, that's what I just said. I said,
okay,
he is going to be able to, not the brand. So when you look at these brands for a lot of athletes, it's like, well, what does that mean? Body Armor, Kobe Bryant was able to invest and be a part of Body Armor, so he was able to parlay that into large sums of money. Nike, Michael Jordan, all that, LeBron James, all of those sort of things, opposed to these individual brands. I go back and I think about Big Baller Brand. Matter of fact, I need to call LeVar. Man, I need to get my money back. I still ain't got my money back for them damn shoes. But when you don't align yourself, who you laugh at, Pat, when you don't align yourself with the major brands, it's very difficult to be an influencer, so to speak. The Kardashians are influencers. So it's a different level when you're talking about influencer on social media and all those sort of things, opposed to an actual, I don't want to call it a person, but an actual person like Tom Brady, who had a career before social media even took off.
But CK, I found this. I was doing a boardroom interview. This is back in the day. It's about 3 or 4 years ago, where it was myself, LeBron James, Maverick Carter, Rich Kleiman, and Kevin Durant. And I was asking Bron about how difficult it is for him because every choice is criticized or it's looked at or it's left to debate, right? And I was like, you know, how do you manage your brand? He's like, well, Jay, you know, Louis Vuitton, Nike, that's a brand. Like, I'm LeBron. And I looked at him during an interview and I said, but no, you're wrong. You are a brand. You are a brand. And brands are looking to be aligned with your brand.
I'm a businessman.
So I know
man.
That you're a person, but you're also a major brand. And that's my thing about Tom Brady. Tom Brady is a person, but there are also brands that are dying to be in business with the Tom Brady brand and everything that comes along with that. The wife, the family, the football legacy, what he does next with the production arm, the pot, all of it.
A brand is really...
If you can move the needle, though, Jay, that's the thing. Yes, we're all our own separate brands. Jay Will, Max Kellerman, Keyshawn Johnson. I love that. Keyshawn Johnson. I love that.
Nepotism Johnson.
Max Kellerman is rubbing off on me. we're all our own brands, but what's our value to those brands? Is Tom Brady $375 million over 10 years a value to Fox?
Yes.
And if it is, then it makes sense for them to pay him that type of money.
Right. A brand is how the value of a brand is how it makes the consumer feel when they associate with it. And Tom Brady, the reason we're asking the question, how much is too much Tom Brady, is part of that has to do like Chuck, Shaq, they can be ubiquitous. They can be everywhere and it's great. They have big, vivacious personalities and you can't get enough, right?
Exactly.
But then there are personalities like Derek Jeter, and I thought of Kobe this way too, and I thought of Tom Brady this way until maybe I saw him in Tampa, where part of the brand is the exclusivity. You don't always get that, right? Like, so when you see it, it's a big deal. And Marty in Los Angeles, is this too much Tom Brady?
And the thing I'm worried about is that, you know, what I'm looking at is like Peyton Manning, right? When he gave his post-game interviews, he was funny. Like, you saw charisma. You saw him, like, joking. And for Tom, like, you know, sometimes when he gets caught on the spot, he doesn't seem comfortable, you know. And you know, I do live announcing. I do live play-by-play for the amazing sport of beach tennis. If you haven't seen it, check it out. But anyway, not quite on the NFL level. But the same thing, like, it takes a lot of work. And you know, I think Tom Brady will put in the work to get that part done. But you also have to have that natural... You know, that charisma, right? You have to have that likability. And I think there's enough Tom Brady haters out there where it's not going to pay off for Fox. So that's my concern. By the way, love the show, guys. You guys rock. Key, fight on.
Yes, sir. Well, I had to be a Trojan. I was by the beach, Manhattan Beach somewhere. I don't think – okay, when you talk about press conferences, depending on when you catch an athlete at a press conference depends on what he's going to give you from a personality standpoint. When you catch Tom Brady coming off a bad game, you're going to get you're going to get that. But when he lights somebody ass up, you're going to get something totally different. And you've got to know that when you're dealing with an athlete, a Peyton Manning or whatever the case may be. In a feel-good situation, you're going to get all the personality in the world when he won a Super Bowl. When he just lost a Super Bowl, you're going to get, we tried to play good. You're going to get nothing.
So there are two different things here to me. And they overlap, but they're distinct, okay? One is, how much entertainment value does he bring, right? Can you, because if you're exposed every week and people want to know, are they going to be entertained? And there's a separate thing, we talk about brands. Key, you brought it up earlier. Do you know, Will Smith may be a bad example now, but like, take Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the day.
Get in the chopper!
Arnold Schwarzenegger, if he was in a movie, I was going to see it. Now, one, it's because I loved watching Arnold, right? But the other thing was he was able to have enough power to select his projects carefully. So every time you saw him, his brand represented to you great writers, directors, the whole thing. It's not just it's what he's associated with, what you expect from that product because he's involved in it, and how it makes you feel. Tom Brady has all that stuff. Tom Brady means football winner, right? He is the biggest deal. He's the GOAT. The brand is locked down. Now comes, can he entertain you?
I think that's a fascinating question that I have about this, Key, is that there's certain people, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, that you look at and you feel like they're superhuman. Superhuman. And then when you start seeing them in their human element, like, oh, they're flawed to a degree, right? And we all are flawed.
Let us see that from Peyton and A-Rod, but not from Jordan and those guys. There's a certain level, the highest possible level, Jordan and those guys. We don't need overexposure because we don't need to see the flaws.
You're my dream. You're what I dream to be like. It is interesting.
I don't know that, as crazy as it may sound, I understand the championships. I understand that you want to put Tom Brady at the same athletic elite championship level as Michael Jordan or LeBron James. They move the needle different from me.
Yeah.
Well, Key,
they just move it different from me.
But Key, let's be honest, you're a black man, and those two move the needle different for the culture.
But hold on.
Tom Brady also doesn't sell sneakers, though. People, black people, anybody. He doesn't sell sneakers like Michael Jordan.
Exactly.
Time out for a second. Every single day we come on this network and we talk about football is king. Football is king in this country.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are real housewives. Like, watch. So they know who Tom Brady is. So, like, I don't understand, like, how people can all of a sudden say, like, Tom Brady doesn't hold similar clout to Michael Jordan. I understand that Michael Jordan
saying people. I'm the one who said it.
Well, you're not the only one, because I was talking about this on other radio shows the other day, and it created a lot of different dynamic of conversations. Like,
move. I think one thing that Key, I think there's a generation of people who still haven't gotten their heads around how important the quarterback has become in football, and therefore they are more like NBA stars now than they used to be. I agree with that, Jay, but still the top of the top NBA stars connect at least with youth culture in terms of moving merchandise and stuff and popular culture more than NFL players, I think.
Let's see what the callers
NFL,
think.
But I'm not talking about NFL players. I'm talking about Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Let's see what the caller thinks.
David
Max.
In Boston.
Good morning. I think there's an important point we're missing here. There's the New England market. The Patriots games are on CBS. When you watch a football, you leave it on the channel. And Fox is trying to capture that New England market, get them to change the channel to watch their game instead of the game on CBS.
Can you say market for me one more time?
Market.
They are trying to capture that market. And by the way, it's a big market because it's as soon as you leave New York City, you start going north. It's the entire eastern seaboard north of New York, right?
But
it's the whole rest of it.
But it's Fox, so you're not only game you're going to get. You may get a New England Patriots. Well, how does that work, Evan? Is it the home team is the network?
No, it's the road team. So when
the road team.
So say the Giants are playing at the Chiefs, that game would be on Fox. But that's an old.
So it's a road. It's not home game. It's road.
Right.
Okay.
But that's an old school way of in college it's home. But that's such an old school way of thinking, because there are these crossover games now where you'll see like a Titans Bills game will be on Fox, even though it's two AFC teams. Like, the NFL is not stuck in their ways anymore to these CBS gets all the AFC road games and Fox gets all the NFC road games. That's not the way it works anymore. There are tons of crossover games. Like, I think there was a game last year. It was like Green Bay and the Eagles was on
CBS.
Yeah. And so, like, that's something that they've started to do. So I think the guy's point would have been more valid, like, 8 years ago when that's what the NFL was doing with the teams.
Yeah, and Jay, so I understand that we think that Tom Brady is – you guys think that Tom Brady is closer to those guys than I do. And, yes, I am a black man, but I also watch football and I watch shows that white people are the main cast of. You raising your hand, Pat, that main people are the cast of.
I was raising his hand.
He raised his hand when I said white people. And so I'm not out of touch at all with that, but I'm also in reality to know that he ain't moving no needle like those two dudes.
Key, I'm pretty sure I understand now. I think this probably has something to do with NFTs, and Jay will explain it to us later. But right now, I'm pretty sure it's the metaverse. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn with us now, as promised.
Ask Alan. Ask him.
Maybe Zach LaVine is in play if you're willing to give a max. I'm sure he would take a four-year max to get him out of there. And he's unrestricted.
If I'm the Bulls, I say, cool, Zach, let's work out a sign and trade. $213 million for Zach LaVine. All the people who are clinging to this argument that Zach LaVine is this unbelievably transcendent player, they say, oh, two-time All-Star. He made the Olympic team. He won a gold medal. What has Zach LaVine ever done on a winning team?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Alan Hahn's about to give you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Listen to Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, on the Hoop Collective podcast. Here's Windy.
Subsequently, as I've talked to league executives, there's now some belief, and maybe only Zach knows, but there's now some belief that Zach could be in play. That, you know, that what a lot of people thought was a foregone conclusion of Zach staying in Chicago on whatever deal was going to be may not be the case. So as you look at options for this summer, maybe Zach LaVine is in play if you're willing to give a max. I'm sure he would take a four-year max to get him out of there. And he's unrestricted.
Alan Hahn, as a diehard Knicks fan and the guy who calls their games, very in with the Knicks organization, and last night I kind of came up with this three-way trade between the Lakers, the Bulls, and the Knicks. And I want to hear your perspective if you would like this for the Knicks. So say, hypothetically, Zach LaVine says, I want to force my way out of Chicago. I do not want to be here. I want to have a sign and trade. I want to go play with LeBron James in L.A. In return, L.A. gives Russell Westbrook 2027 first-round pick, and then say 2028 some kind of pick, second round, I don't know, whatever it is, because you made me informed in the first they can't give two back-to-back first-round picks year after year, right? But some other pick in addition to that.
Yep.
Then the Bulls will receive Julius Randle, Evan Fournier. I know it stinks for Chicago, but their hands will be forced. But ultimately, with $47 million contract coming on the payroll for the Knicks that comes off your book the following year, picks, you will be in prime position for the Knicks to go after and target a big-time free agent to build around with R.J. Barrett. Do you like that from the Knicks' perspective?
Yeah, I do, from the clearing space and resetting kind of perspective, and also from the – What Westbrook could bring. I know he looked terrible with the Lakers, but it was such a bad fit that I just wonder if he was struggling all year just trying to figure it out. It is known that Tom Thibodeau loves Russell Westbrook. I mean, I've heard that when you know Washington wanted to move him, that the Knicks wanted to, you know, he wanted to push them to get him, thinking it's a 2-year deal, it's not so bad, and you get, you know, an alpha. So that's that. So I think if there's nothing else to do this summer, I wouldn't make that the first option. But if I can be involved in something like this as a I got nothing else to do and I need to do something option, then I would do it.
What is your first option?
My first option is to make a deal for Donovan Mitchell. It's my first option.
So you
the
think
world knows he's not happy there, yeah. And there is a relationship between him and Johnny Bryant, assistant coach on the team, that they've gone back for years, and he's from here. He's from New York. And if I can make that happen, I'm making that happen.
Do you think you can win a championship with Donovan Mitchell, either as a 1 or a 1A?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think
– great series against Denver. Oh, my
remember,
God.
Remember, he and Jamal Murray just went crazy.
One of the greatest ever, back and forth.
And we didn't see the same guy this year because of all the outside things that were going on there. So I love him. I think he'd be inspired here. I don't think he's obviously a main piece, but he's definitely –
I wish he shot it a little better for a guy his height. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, what do you mean you don't think he's a main piece?
What I mean is like –
he's a main piece.
He's not a top five player in the league. Top five, you're a main piece, right? Okay. You're a guy like that can – Giannis, you know, those guys.
Kevin
I don't
Durant,
know if he's that, but I definitely think if you build it properly with him, I think you can – I think he's a piece like that.
So if you grab him, who are you getting rid of, though?
Well, I mean, it's going to cost you. You know that, Key. I'm well aware of that. It's not easy to say this because I love this guy, but if you're the Jazz, of course you're going to want R.J. Barrett.
Yeah.
And you're going to want him, right? Now you're going to want him, and then you have to give him – because the Knicks have to make a decision on, are you giving him the max off the rookie deal, $180 million? He's the third pick in the draft. He can get $180 million.
Here's the problem, Alan. The problem is given how young he is, he's so young still,
yep.
And given the improvements in his game, it is far from certain that he'll be a perennial All-Star. However, he has a good chance to be a perennial All-Star. And a guy like that, if he becomes that, you want on the team, because if you can clear cap space, you can get two max guys in there, and then you can grandfather him in.
I need more intel about his drawing power. How many players, like,
100%,
how many players are 100%. Like, I'd love to play with R.J. Barrett.
That's the whole thing.
He's actually a very popular guy. Like, a lot of players like him. So I would also be very careful with that. I'm not in the front office. This is not my job to make sure to find out, wait a minute, is R.J. a magnet? Because if he is, then maybe I don't want
to. In other words, what you're saying by clearing cap space, Jay, Key, the question you asked, and what, Alan, what you're talking about is really the job of the Knicks is to become an attractive destination. And
isn't that the job of every franchise?
But especially for the Knicks, because they haven't been for so long, in spite of having New York and Madison Square Garden. And so the best way to do that is not just by having nothing on the books. It's by having something on the books that other players like and they want to be there with.
That's what was lacking in 2010. I covered all that stuff with LeBron, and he was very serious about it, but he knew he was coming to an empty cupboard. He knew it, and that was going to be difficult. And that was also the story with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was very interested in the Knicks, but he was coming to an empty cupboard.
What's your gut on R.J. Barrett? Yes or no? Is he? Can he be that guy? Not the best player on a championship team, but an all-star who other players want to play
with. If I'm basing it on his character and work ethic, yes, I do think that. I put a lot of value in him. I think the world of R.J. Barrett.
But if you think the world of R.J. Barrett and you got to get rid of him to grab Mitchell.
Well, I'm getting what I have in R.J. Barrett is a maybe, could be. What I would have in Donovan Mitchell is a I know what he is already.
You know what he is, but if he's not a top five guy, so to speak.
Not yet.
And the cupboard is bare, and you mentioned LeBron, you mentioned KD and company. What's any different now in New York for the Knicks with Mitchell than it was when those guys were thinking about coming?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That's the concern, that it could be another Carmelo Anthony trade where you give up a lot, you get one guy, and now you've got to try to figure out that one.
Well,
guy.
Butler is absolutely top right. Five guy
here, though, here's
they're
one.
Still, they're on their way to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Let me boil down your philosophy, Alan.
That's the RJ comparison.
Tell me if I got your philosophy right or not, because I will sign up for this one, right? You trade for Donovan Mitchell unless it's make or break to put R.J. in the deal. Because if you can get Donovan Mitchell and keep R.J. Barrett, take everything else.
It's your backcourt.
Now, let's say you had to give up R.J. Barrett to get Donovan Mitchell, but you can keep Donovan Mitchell, bring in Westbrook and clear the books, and then go forward. Which is preferable?
Well, I'm trying to keep up with that.
So you have R.J. Barrett.
I keep R.J. I don't get Mitchell.
You don't get Mitchell now. You don't get it now.
Yeah, I would make that. Yeah, I would make that like I like it as an option. What Jay put together is a good option. Now, is it good for the Lakers? Is it good for the Bulls? I mean, for the Bulls, I guess you get something out of nothing. But for the Lakers, is that the best thing you can do?
I'm turning Russell Westbrook and some meaningless picks that, like, late in the first into Zach LaVine? Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm doing that. Okay. Keyshawn J. Willimax. That is Alan Hahn, ladies and gentlemen. I think we've come to some kind of a meeting of the minds here. I agree. I'm signing off on this one.
I've got you to say something positive about something the Knicks could do. Wow.
He was giving you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Would the Lakers make this trade? And why is Jeannie Buss so unhappy with their situation presently?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Just hearing you say TikTok makes me giggle.
TikTok.
It's hilarious, by
like,
the way.
TikTok? Does this have something to do with TikTok? NFTs?
I'm going to get you an NFT, by the way. I'm going to get you and CC.
In the metaverse or in the real world?
No, don't say stop. No, stop.
Do you understand I'm still amazed by fax machines? You put it in New York, it comes out in California. How's that possible? That doesn't make any sense.
I was like, you mean sending emails?
No, fax machines. Nobody, I still can't understand it.
It's like teleportation,
I tell you.
So how do you understand emails?
Who says I do?
Fact.
Key emails are the worst invention ever because now everyone can reach you anytime. When it was regular snail mail, someone sent you a letter. You might not respond. Maybe they never got to them. With emails, you're available to everyone 24 hours a day.
But they don't need text. To know that you're available because you don't have to answer it.
Well, see, text would mean that you're available all the time because I can see on your text. iPhone if you read or do not read your text.
What are you talking about, Max? I could stand right next to you and you won't be available at times.
Look at Key. Yates, Evan.
I'm sorry, someone just told me Evan said something to me. Evan, did you say something?
Wait, this is great. Yates and Evan. Key is like, what do you mean you can tell if I read my text or not?
Yeah, but I can turn it off.
Yeah, I leave mine on so you know I'm ignoring you.
Yes! Man, I read it. That's what
you know what I hate about texts, by the way? Like, people will just text me. Texting takes more time than a quick phone call.
Texting is not a word, just FYI, since you're very critical like that. You just send me a text.
Oh, yeah? Is that right?
Yeah, just to let you know.
Are you a FaceTime guy,
correct
Max?
Me, so I just want to make sure you understand.
No,
FaceTime
world,
is
man.
Too much. A phone, we got it right with the phone. We didn't need to go past the phone. Quick phone call, boom, 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 done. I'm not writing a whole novel on my phone.
I don't do phone calls anymore. I FaceTime everybody.
I only FaceTime people.
Why?
Because
I want to see you.
Max, if I called you, Max, and you was like, yo, I'm cool, I'm good, I'm chilling, you might be lying to me. You might be upset, mad, in the dark. So if I FaceTime you, I can see your ambiance, your vibes, everything around you.
Are you really chilling?
Listen,
I'm with you, Max.
Yep. Yep, you don't need to be looking at me.
I'm trying to see it.
Listen.
You FaceTime me from the crib before. We FaceTime. What are you talking about,
Well, that was probably an accident. You know, sometimes you hit it accidentally, and then you got to play it off like you did it on purpose. Yeah. Listen, you have to understand, Key and I are very handsome. And when you're handsome.
You should always want to be seen.
It's like Tom Brady. You don't want to be overexposed. Just a little bit at a time. It's enough.
You guys are.
It's like staring into the sun.
Me right now. Key is face. There you go, Key. There you go. He's crazy. He's wild.
Yeah, FaceTime.
That's insane. FaceTime everybody, guys.
I'm going to FaceTime you at midnight, see what you're doing.
See, that's when you cross the line.
Exactly.
I want to FaceTime my kids because I want to look at their faces.
But I'm also not calling your ass at midnight, Key.
But I don't need you calling me. I might be in a meeting. Don't FaceTime me.
Put it on
text
Do Not Disturb.
No, I'm not doing all that. I'm not doing that.
It's a button.
Me.
It's
just
a little
me.
Thing you just push on your phone.
I know
it's
what it
do
is.
Not disturb.
Look,
too many
Jay,
buttons already.
Look, there's some things that I am oblivious to because I choose to be.
That's fair.
And there's other things. I know what a damn put it on Do Not Disturb. I know how to do that. I know how to turn off my read so you don't know that I read your text message. I got that.
Don't get mad at me. I'm just saying,
I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying I get it. Well, I have a certain tone, see?
Jay wants to do it on FaceTime so he can create an NFT. Put it in the metaverse.
This guy always trying to bring something back to NFTs.
I'm trying to figure out what that is.
You and Key are officially getting in a couple weeks an NFT. I'm going to present it to you on the show. I'm actually going to give it to everybody.
Are you physically going
to
give it to us?
Give
or
it to
are we going to
everybody
see it on, a screen?
On our team since I don't give our team anybody. I don't give them anything. And we're going to watch the value increase over time. And then let's see what it's worth.
Waste your money.
It's not my money. I got it. I already own it.
When you have the NFT, where does it go? Like when you say you're going to give it to us, is it going to be we're going to be able to touch it, or is it going to be somewhere in the metaverse, or how's it
work?
It
goes in your MetaMask wallet.
Yeah, my MetaMask wallet?
It's like a digital wallet, yes.
You have a digital wallet, Key?
I have that wallet thing, and guess
you
what?
You already have one on
your plane ticket.
On
goes
your
in my, the plane
Wait,
ticket.
On your wallet.
Guess what? Here, I'll pull it up for you.
You can store your credit cards there, too.
I hate when I forget my digital wallet.
So you already have a digital wallet. What are you talking about?
All right.
There you go.
Jay?
You're already in the game. You didn't even know.
So I have an NFT.
No, you
don't. Oh, sorry. I didn't know.
You see that, Jay? There it is.
What's that?
There's two things in here. Something that says Apple Cash, it says zero. And then there's another thing in here that says NFLPA, former
checks,
player, member number,
Ooh,
and that's
You get those checks coming to that account?
That's the only thing. No, this is just for discounts.
You know what it's like, though? Like so
Taking the Evan and Max approach.
The whole virtual world stuff.
Key, you wild.
You know, in the old days, you would buy, let's say, a videotape of a movie or something, right? You had the, physically, you had it. Nowadays, all of a sudden, I can't get into my account. I bought this thing, but I transferred it to too many Apple TVs. Now I don't have access to it because you don't physically ever have it.
Do you order Amazon? Do you watch stuff off? Do you order you stuff go. Off Amazon?
Yeah, I do. Of course, I order stuff for streaming because I got no choice.
There you go.
Or back in the day when we were kids and growing up, Max, when it made sense, is that if we wanted something, we pay for it, we get it, we move on.
Yeah.
This time, we pay for something. We don't want it. We can't move on, and they keep charging your damn account.
Yeah, right.
By the way, that's what streaming TV is. Like, it's so funny. Everybody's like, oh, I'm streaming. I'm like, okay. Well, just make sure you check out. You're probably spending more money streaming with all these services than you actually did for your cable bill.
Because
people lose track of it.
100%.
All the apps, like, oh, you're paying Amazon, you're paying this app. Then you go, they're like, hold on, how much am I spending?
I thought we was breaking it down when we did our budget a couple years ago. Remember last year, I think it was. Remember, I was like, oh, yeah, I got this and this and oh, I got that. And I had DirecTV originally. And then I was like, oh, I'll get out of DirecTV. Yeah, man, we started getting all these little apps for streaming, the damn bill is higher than it was for DirecTV.
And maybe sometimes you don't just have access to it. Sometimes you just, I can't get it, or you transfer it too much, and now you have to buy it again.
But I tell you where to get the subscription fee. So, like, back before when you would get your actual bill, right, like, you actually see it. It's in your face. Like, oh, what they get you on this is the subscription fees, they renew after certain times when you don't turn it off on your phone. So it just keeps renewing. And you have no idea. You're just paying it.
I don't know how the working man does
it.
I don't know. I don't know how the working man does it. If you're driving a truck right now listening to us, God bless you. I don't know how you do it. Joel Embiid's conundrum heading into Game 6 has nothing to do with facing elimination. That's next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Nothing to do with apps.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, you guys see this proposal on this TSA line?
No. What happened?
What?
Some guy proposed on a TSA line.
It's like in the middle of a TSA
after
line.
After he got through security.
Yeah, he got through security.
And he got down on one knee.
Yeah, so we were trying to think of, like, what's a less romantic place to propose. But, Key, have you heard? Wait, no, Key hasn't heard this story. I've heard this story, Key. Listen to this story. It is Evan regarding Evan's sister and brother-in-law.
Yeah, so my brother-in-law proposed to my sister while she was sitting on the toilet.
And now, why?
I need more details. Way more details.
She kept bugging him, like, when are we going to get engaged? When are you going to do it? And he's, you know, just got kind of a funny sense of humor. And he was like, oh, no, I'm just going to do it one day when you're taking a poop. And she was like, no, seriously. And he's like, no, I'm going to. And then one day she was in the bathroom in the morning, and he knocked on the door, and she's like, what? I'm going to the bathroom. He goes, no, I need to ask you something. It's important. And she opens the door, and he gets down on one knee and asks her to marry him.
I guess that's not bad, considering he's got to live with that for the rest of his life.
I'm
so confused.
Might be the first time that people who know them really well heard this story, because for like the longest time. So they got engaged back in 2010, I think. 2009 they got engaged. And so in 2009, for like probably, you know, 10 years after that, people just said, oh, yeah, he just did it in the morning, you know, while we were getting ready to go to work.
Your brother-in-law is my hero, by the way. That's the best thing I've ever heard. She's bugging about an engagement. Okay, how's this for a proposal?
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on, Evan. So one follow-up question. Like, typically when people get engaged, they're happy to get up and they hug. Like, was there like a delay in her get up and hugging him and saying yes? Did she say yes?
She sprayed the room before she
got down on the toilet and then put the finger. I need more details, man. I need to understand what the follow-up story.
The details that I have heard is that she had not started going yet.
Number two.
Well, at least he can get used to the smell, that's for sure.
Oh.
Yeah, crop dusting everywhere before it even starts.
Yeah, I don't know what makes somebody, I guess maybe the guy at TSA He got his encouragement up when he went through the security.
But why wait until you go through security?
I wonder if they took the ring out. Like, as he's going through TSA, he had to take the ring out because it was metal going through the thing. And they were like, oh, what's this? And the ring is out. So right there, he's just like, you know, I'm just going to do it right now instead of waiting for the rest of this.
I just want
to
know if
you go to the Eiffel Tower or something.
I want to know about Evan's sister.
I just want to know, Evan, if your sister washed her damn hands before you put the ring on.
If she hadn't started yet, the real danger is too tight a squeeze. You got to be gentle, gentle hug.
God.
Gentle hug, not too tight.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LectricEbikes.com.
Don't start me on key chains, by the way.
Key, hold on. This song still, though, this song still hits differently, Key. Every time it comes on, I'm like, oh, just bring me back to the beach and a drop top. Just woo.
Yeah, I heard it before I went to bed last night.
Ooh, what?
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM channel.
Oh, okay.
I'm
going to
put my
voice.
My old school DJ voice on.
Yeah, that's what I said. I hear the voice. I heard the voice, though. That's what I said. I hear the voice.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM channel 80.
Kiss After Dark.
You're now listening to Max After Dark.
Ooh,
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max.
So there were a whole bunch of choices, including Best Burner, Lucas Robin, Weird Proposals. They got various numbers, percentage of votes. Evan's brother-in-law wins that one. Surprised the you-know-what out of her the way he did it. Embiid's conundrum wins in a landslide, but at least with a plurality of the votes, 35% plus. Next closest was under 25%. So we're going to talk about Embiid, guys. The fans have voted on at KJ and Max on Twitter. So Embiid was asked whether he's risking his health playing through this fractured orbital bone, manned up, put a mask on, got back for the playoffs, won him two games at home. And this was Embiid's response.
I don't think so. You know, obviously I'm not a specialist. I'm just listening to the doctors. I don't think so. So it's just about, you know, pain tolerance. And, you know, this is a lose-lose situation for me. You know, if I don't play, you know, probably get called soft. And, you know, if I play and I play bad, probably come up with a bunch of stuff that I guess is just not good enough.
I get what Joel is saying. He's saying the media is going to frame this as a lose-lose for me. But my thing is, if you lose, yeah. Like, they're not going to do that if you win. And so you can still change the narrative. Key, the only thing that bothers me about this is when I look at their whole team in general, like, nobody's saying the stuff that needs to be said about, yo, we were sorry as hell tonight, and there's no way in hell this is going to happen in game 6. That's on me. Like, I don't hear accountability. I hear a lot of excuses from the James Hardens, from the Joel Embiids, and I get that it's a tough situation in which he's playing with. Look, a fractured orbital bone, like, right? Like, and the thumb. I get all the issues. But when you're in battle, man, just go get it done.
Yeah, I look at it and I say, okay, but I feel like based on Embiid's comments that he made a couple weeks ago, you know, talking just, you know, kind of like throwing shade at Doc, I feel like he is doubling down on it because of the pressure to play And so he's like, well, I'm not the doctor. I just do what the doctors say, which is a typical sign of an athlete that feels a certain way about the way he's being treated by the medical staff or by his coaches. And then at the same time, kind of saying, well, you know, if I don't play, it's a lose-lose. If I play, it's a lose-lose, because then I got to deal with the fact that I'm soft or I'm not good enough. That just sounds like some coaching stuff to me, because the media and the fan base in Philadelphia, from what I can see, hasn't been on him like that recently.
No, Embiid is the man. And but put on the mask, win you two games at home, but they came out so flat in game five. Key, it makes some sense to me what you're saying. Maybe. I mean, you're just asking the question, really, which is what a good germ spreader does, right? I'm just asking the question. This is a good technique of mine. I'm just asking the question. Is it at Doc Rivers at all? Because if your team's not ready to go in a game five in the playoffs on the road, they just come out flat. Maybe that's on the coach. Here's what Doc Rivers, Sixers head coach, said at the post-game presser.
I want to watch the tape or burn the tape. I'm not sure which one. I'll probably watch it because I have to, and then I'll burn it. But we'll be ready next game. We have to be.
They have to be. That's right. I just understand.
You have no choice. It's do or die.
You know, a team, like no team in this series has won on the road. And the Sixers will have to win on the road to win the series. But now they got to defend home court again after really coming out flat. Key, Jay, I think they can defend home court. Can they get a win on the road against the Heat?
So the team that wins game five has an 85.9% chance of winning the series. Okay? So, like, we're talking about 10% pretty much for the 76ers to win the series.
It makes sense, because if you won game five, you're probably a little better. And so, now the slightly worse team has to win two in a row from the better team, right? Like,
Yates, let me ask you, because you're a diehard Philly fan. 10% chance for your team to win this game straight up. You taking it?
Am I taking the 10%?
Yeah.
No, the series straight up.
The series, yeah. 10% chance you guys will win the series.
Obviously, they have to win the next game. But I like – I'll put it like this. If the Heat plays on, they're going to lose that joint. So I'm going to go 8%.
Here's the question. Does Doc Rivers inspire you with confidence, Yates, Sixers fan? Or do you think – because it's a winnable series. Do you think it's a winnable series with Doc as the coach? Because we know he can get stubborn about what he's doing.
If he goes into it with an open mindset of like, all right, if I have to play certain dudes that aren't in a rotation, then I'm cool with that. But if he's going to be stuck in his ways, then there's nothing that you can do about it. So I wouldn't be that confident about it. I do think that the Sixers still can win the series, though.
Okay, so here I still believe the Sixers can win the series, but this is what they need in order to win the series. James Harden has to be different, man.
Yes!
Like, Joel Embiid, I have no doubt that Joel Embiid is going to respond. Right, and if you get stuff out of Tyrese Maxey, great. Tobias Harris, I hear that he got a lot of money. You need James Harden to be somewhat decent in these games. And even last night for him to take 13 shots, I'm just like, that's more an average of what he needs to have more of a prolific moment. Like, that's why he is there. That's why my comment before we even got here was at the end of this thing, we'll find out who James Harden is.
I'm so glad you said that, Jay. Key, I'm so glad Jay said that, because I don't want to have to be the bad guy every time, right? Oh, the non-athlete guy bringing up No, James Harden has had enough moments in his career where if he had played better, maybe they win a championship. Here it comes again. Okay, defend home court, and then James, can you show up on the road in a game seven against a great defensive team? Can you do it?
He's going to have to show it. I mean, defend home court, get back to Philly, take care of business there, and then roll back down to Miami and get it done. That's just where it's at now.
Usually the young players, Key, and the role players that don't show up on the road in series, right? James Harden's not young. He's not a role player. Come on. Come on, James. Come on.
He got to play better. Because essentially, people like myself who gives people an opportunity to prove themselves, he's running out of that room right now.
Yo, you know what the difference is, Key, Jay? Jimmy Butler might have
James Butler
might have a came to mind, Harden. Jimmy Butler may have a bad game in a game 6 or 7, but it won't be because he didn't show up. It'll be because the shots weren't for whatever, it happens. But Jimmy Butler will show up. He will be energized. He will give it 110%. We know that already, right? And the Heat had Jimmy Butler. Now they have James Harden. Will he do the same thing? Jay, last word.
It just comes down to the energy that James Harden gives you, man. That's going to be his legacy when it's all said and done. I know he's hampered with a hamstring issue. I know Joel Embiid is hurt. But at the end of the day, nobody cares. Got to go out and get it done. Mm-hmm. That's why you were brought together.
Preach, my brother.
Didn't get it done in Houston. They had a game 7, and Chris Paul got hurt, and James Harden could not hit the broad side of a barn with a handful of buckshot. All right. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we're back tomorrow, 6 a.m.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.